We need to aspire to be more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ every day. This morning, turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms, the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90 is entitled, A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. It is the only one of the 150 Psalms attributed to Moses. Moses lived to be 120 years old. Remember that he was about 40 years old when he fled from Egypt, and he lived on the backside of the Midian Desert for 40 years with his father-in-law. When he was 80 years old, the Lord revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush, commissioning Moses to go back to the land of Egypt and to be the one that God had chosen to lead his people out of Egyptian bondage. And then we know that he led them about after they stumbled in unbelief in the wilderness for 40 years. And then remember that even Moses himself was not allowed to enter the promised land because the second time he struck the rock when God said, "Speak to the rock," but he only saw it before he died. But this is a prayer of Moses concerning the brevity of life. How short our life is in the earth. At its longest span, our life is but a speck on the sands of time. And so what we should do as we face the new year, we need to pray for wisdom that we might live day by day and making the most of every day. And that would be the theme or title of my message today on this New Year's Sunday, making the most of every day, praying for godly wisdom. For Moses taught and said in Psalm 90, and verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Let us pray. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you now for this New Year's Sunday, the first Lord's Day of the new year, and we pray that we might be resolved to seek your wisdom more this year than we ever have in our lifetime. We live in perilous times, and there is much evil in our land. People call good evil and evil good, and this is not right. We know, Lord, that your anger and wrath pours out upon that evil and sin, not just in the wickedness of the world, but even in us, your own children, Lord, when we stray away from you, your discipline is upon us. But it's because you love us that you might bring us back to you in repentance and in faith. Father, I pray for our nation, our nation's leaders, our military personnel, the unborn. I pray for revival, that it would begin in me and spread outward to your people, to my family, to our loved ones, and to our communities. Be with us now, in Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. A prayer for wisdom that we might number our day. That is, that we might make the most of every day that the Lord gives us in this life. We are creatures of time, but God exists outside of time. God is eternal. We find in verse 1 of Psalm 90, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So that proclaims there in Psalm 90 and verse 2 that God is eternal. He has always been. There has never been a time when God did not exist. God is from everlasting and then to everlasting. We cannot understand that because we are creatures of time. We're bound in time. And our lives are referenced by points in time, past, present, and future. But God sees all of human history at one time. But we see that God exists eternally in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it is said in Proverbs chapter 8, beginning in verse 25 of Proverbs chapter 8, he says there, you know, before the mountains were brought forth, he was there. Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, was with God even before the beginning. Before the mountains were settled, the wise man Solomon says in Proverbs 8:25, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was, I brought forth. Jesus was there. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree, that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the fountains of the earth, then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. That speaks of our Lord and Savior, who was with the Father and with the Holy Spirit before creation. God has been our dwelling place in all generations. Our forefathers had the blessing of the guidance of the Spirit of the Lord in their lives, just as we do today. And another grand truth that we hold to: we are creatures of time, and time changes things. We live in a decaying world, and we live in fallen bodies, and over time, they change. But God never changes. It is said in Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. His love for you and me never changes. But then in verse 3 of Psalm 90, we see a great contrast between the eternal God, the eternal and changing God, and frail mankind. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, you children of men. Now, what is he speaking about there? He's speaking about God's judgment on mankind after Adam fell in the Garden of Eden. Look in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19. Remember, after man fell in sin, He said in verse 19 of Genesis 3, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Remember, God made Adam from the dust of the earth and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But after man fell in sin, God said, "You will surely die. If you eat of the forbidden fruit, you will surely die. In the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." And so it was that in the day that Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, they died in trespasses and in sin. Their relationship with God was severed. That holy communion with God was severed. They were separated from God. They did not immediately die a physical death, but they eventually did. Now, in Psalm 90, when he says in verse 3, "Thou turnest man to destruction and saith, return," he's speaking about returning to the dust from whence man was made. We are very frail. Even at our strongest point in life, we are very weak compared with God. Now, Adam lived, I believe, to be about 930 years old. Adam lived close to going on 1,000 years. But God says in verse 4 of our text, "For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night." 1,000 years in God's view is like a watch in the night, just a brief moment in time. "Thou carry them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they're like grass that grow up." He's showing a picture of the frailty of mankind in our fallen condition. We're here today, as the old saying is, and gone tomorrow. And so he says, "In the morning it flourishes and grows up, and in the evening it is cut down and it withers." Mankind, you and I, are like the grass of the field or the flower of the field. In the morning it blooms and grows. In the evening it withers away and dies. In Isaiah chapter 40, we read of the coming of John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And God would command him to cry out and say this about the weakness of mankind. Isaiah 40, beginning in verse 6. "The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? That all flesh is grass, and all of the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. It may be beautiful for a moment in time. The grass withers and the flower fades, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever." The written word stands forever because the living word, Jesus Christ, is eternal. and His Word is just as eternal as He is. If God spoke it, it will come to pass. But we are like the grass of the field. We're here today and gone tomorrow. So He says in verse 7 of Psalm 90, "For we are consumed in thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, and our secret sins in the light of thy countenance." We die because of sin. The wages of our sin is death. But praise be unto God, the righteousness of God has delivered us from sin and death. We have life in Christ. Now, He says here that there's no hiding from the all-seeing eye of God. Our secret sins are in the light of His countenance. The writer of Hebrews said it like this, that all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. David said this about it in Psalms chapter 19. Concerning those sins, he said this. Look in Psalm 19. He said concerning the Word of God in verse 11, "Moreover, by them, by the commands of God, is thy servant warned, and in the keeping of them, in the keeping of God's Word, there is great reward, great blessing. Who can understand his errors or his sins?" And then David cries out to the Lord, "Cleanse thou me from secret faults or secret sins. And also keep your servant back from presumptuous sins as well. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression." And so, our sinfulness is open to the eyes of the Lord. And it is incumbent upon a child of God, when the Spirit of the Lord convicts us of our sin, it is imperative that we turn from that sin in repentance toward God and forsake that sin, that we might have mercy and that we might apply our heart unto wisdom. Unto wisdom. The brevity of life, at its longest point, our life is but a speck on the sands of time. So he says in verse 9 of Psalms 90, "For all of our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." Just in the history of our lives, it is as if it were a tale that's told that begins today and ends tomorrow. He tells us in verse 10 that the average lifespan of man on earth now is 70 years. He says, "For the days of our years are 80 years and 10, 60 and 10, 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." I love that old song, that "I will fly away to be with Jesus." You know, the older we get, isn't that the desire of your heart? That we might fly away and be with the Lord in eternity? The sin-cursed world in which we live causes us to be weary and cast down sometimes. And we long for our eternal home where there is no sin and there is no death. There is no crying and no pain. And so we know that our life is very short in this world. But we are to make the most of the time we have. And that's what he says in verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. Let's see what Paul says about it in Ephesians chapter 5. In the writings of the Apostle Paul, in Ephesians chapter 5, he tells us that we're to be followers of God as dear children, that we are to walk in love as Christ has loved us and has given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Then beginning in verses 3 through about verse 12, he tells us about the sinfulness of the world in which we live and how that we are to avoid it and live separate from that. He says in verse 8 that we were sometimes darkness, but now are we the light in the Lord. We are light in the Lord. We are to walk as the children of light. He says, if you drop down in verse 14, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise men, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We live in evil days, and so we are to redeem the time, meaning that we are to make the most of the time that God gives to us. The worst thing to waste is time. And I'm guilty of it. I'm just so guilty of wasting time. I want every moment to count for the Lord and count for serving Him, that we might redeem the time. Paul said it this way in Colossians chapter 4. He says, in beginning in verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Never forget to thank God for all of His blessings past, knowing that He'll be with us in the new year. In Colossians 4:3, with all praying for us, that God would open to us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. I want that door of utterance for all of us. And then he says, that I might make manifest as I ought to speak and walk in wisdom toward those that are without, redeeming the time. Pray for the Lord to give unto us godly wisdom that we might walk in such a way before those that are in the world, that they might see a change in our life, that our life might appear to be different, that we might honor and glorify our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember, the King Solomon, the son of David, he could have prayed for anything when he took the throne of Israel. But what did he pray for? He prayed for wisdom, that God would give him wisdom to rightly lead the nation of Israel. And that's what we should be doing for the new year, that we might number our days and pray for wisdom. James, in James chapter 3, verse 13, says this. James 3:13. Who is a wise man and endowed with knowledge among you? Who is wise and endowed with knowledge? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. That's what we need for the new year. What is wisdom? It is applying God's Word in our lives. It is applying the knowledge of God's Word into practice in our daily living. Knowledge is good, but knowledge simply for knowledge's sake has very little value. It needs to be applied in such a way that we honor and glorify the Lord and for the good of God's people, that we might benefit God's children as we live in this life. Let us therefore show out of a good behavior conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. He contrasts there the wisdom of the world with godly wisdom. He says in James 3, verse 14, "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, don't glory and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly and sensual and devilish. But the wisdom that is from above, godly wisdom, is first of all pure, and then peaceable, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." That should be our desire for the new year. Godly wisdom, that we may apply our hearts to live every day, making the most of the time we have. Continuing in James chapter 4, he says in verse 13 of James chapter 4, "Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." We don't know that we're going to continue for another year. Only God knows. "Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow." We sang the hymn, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. "For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Even Adam, living to be 930 years of age, he died. "For we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." And so we find it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed immediately in this world because of our sinful nature. Remember, he says in Lamentations chapter 3, "Great is his faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning." He's unchanging. Malachi chapter 3 says, "He changes not. Therefore we sons of Jacob are not consumed." Not consumed in his wrath. That's what he says in Psalms chapter 90 and verse 9. "All of our days are passed away in your wrath." He says in verse 11, "Who knows the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath." And then he says in verse 13, "Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." Don't you pray for mercy? I know I do. I don't want justice. I want the mercy of the Lord. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou afflicted us, in the years wherein we've seen evil. And let thy work appear to thy servants, thy glory to their children. That's talking about revival. We need to be revived. In the midst of our bondage, we need to be revived. And let the beauty of the Lord, our God, be upon us. Let His beauty rest upon you and me. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. We are to be doing God's work today. Jesus said in John chapter 9, I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day, for the night comes when no man can work. Speaking of death, we are to work today the works of the Father and glorify Him and pray, as verse 12 teaches, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. God bless you is my prayer for Christ's sake.